In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I don't think that it's any secret of my deep and abiding love for food. So whenever I read in Scripture about metaphors for food or stories about food, you've got my attention, okay? I'm struck by the first reading that we had today, and Elijah sitting under this tree, and he has this dream, and suddenly this bread appears, and this bread and this water, and it's enough to sustain him for 40 days. Bread and water is enough to sustain me to the next meal that afternoon, okay? It's not enough that's going to last 40 days. There's something special about that bread and that water. There's something special about that bread and that water for Elijah. In the gospel reading that we have today, Jesus talks about being the bread of life. That bread that feeds us and sustains us and brings us to eternal life. That's a powerful message, I think, because it implies this metaphor of food. We all eat. Everybody eats. Everybody, I think, likes to eat. Okay? Some people live to eat, some people eat to live, okay? I'm one of those people that lives to eat, okay? I think all of us, deep down, are living for something deeper than just a meal. We're living for something that can satisfy not just our stomachs, but our souls. And that is what Jesus offers us, each and every single one of us, that opportunity to feast. Here in the Episcopal Church. Last week I talked about things that were adiaphora, and I got a lot of interesting questions and comments about what that meant later, which I absolutely love because it means that some of you are word nerds just like me. But when in the Episcopal Church we have two unique opportunities to feast on the Word every time we get together. We have the opportunity to feast on the Word of God. We hear lessons from Scripture, and we're able to read, mark, and inwardly digest, as we even pray in one of our collects, those lessons. So that we're able to learn a little more and to know a little more and inch closer towards the truth of the reality of the universe, that is God in the work of the world. We ought to come to this table and feast on the Word made flesh through the Blessed Sacrament. We have the opportunity to stretch out our hands for a moment, experience something both mysterious and pure. There's a reason that whenever I go around the altar rail, I don't just sort of like hand it out like bus tokens, you know, those little wafers. I go around and I very intentionally do this. I hold that wafer up, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. And I do it in a certain way. And I've never told anybody this, so this is my confession here for this morning. I hold that up so that I see your face behind it. I see your face behind that wafer. When I say, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, I see both this wafer that we will consume that is the body of Christ, and I see your face. Each and every one of you who is the body of Christ. That's a spiritual thing for me because it reminds me that there's not a single human being whose eyes I can look into that God does not love, who is not a part of this beautiful and mystical thing we call the body of Christ, we call the church. We have that living bread that ties us together, binds us, and makes us somehow able to go out and find the strength to witness in the world. I think that's a powerful thing. I think it's a powerful thing that we have this wonderful opportunity every time that we gather like this to come to the Lord's table and to experience just a little mystery for a little bit. To come together in that sort of unity, to experience that little portion of the living bread of life so that we can go out and be the body of Christ in the world. I'm reminded of some mealtime prayers. I was thinking about this week. Everybody has their little mealtime prayers, right? I'm not naming names, but I'm hoping everybody raises their hand when I say, you know, who prays before a meal? I'm hoping everybody raises their hand, you know, at least mentally. We all have certain little prayers. They may differ from meal to meal. Some of us may do the same thing each and every time. There's the one famous mealtime poem by Robert Burns, and I'm going to totally butcher this, so I'm sorry, Rob, for this. Some have meat and cannot eat, and some want for meat but have not. What am I saying wrong, Rob? Do you know this one? Okay. can't help me. Okay, it's Robert Burns. Some have meat and cannot eat, and some have not but want to eat, but we have meat and can eat, and so the Lord be thanked. I know I butchered that, but that's somewhere in Scottish poetry. It's weird. Those people eat haggis. There are very simple prayers. Actually, in our dining room, we have one. Bless the food before us, the family beside us, and the love between us. Amen. And I'm sure that all of you have little mealtime prayers that maybe you taught your kids or that you remember from a child. And I wonder why it is that we don't say these same sorts of prayers when we come up to the altar to receive communion. Especially that one that sticks out in my mind from our dining room. Bless the food before us, the sacrament that we are about to receive. The family beside us, this body of Christ that we dwell in, here in the church and in the world, and the love between us, this beautiful thing that we have with ourselves, Christ, and one another. I pray, my brothers and sisters, that each and every time we come to the altar of our living God, and we receive that bread and we take a sip of that wine, we are reminded that we take it together. Not individually. We take it together. That living bread meant for all of us. So that we might have life eternal. And that we might share that message with the world about us. All in love. All in love. Amen.